We welcome the listeners of Radio Al Ansar, 90.4 FM Durban and 105.6 FM Pietermaritzburg. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to a series of lectures by Sheikh Ahmed Didat, the trustees, staff and management of Islamic Propagation Center International are committed to the legacy of Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Sheikh Ahmed Didat's contribution has been outstanding and remarkable, and his audiovisual products would benefit the community for many years to come. We call upon the international community to pray to the Almighty Allah for late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. He was indeed a soldier, scholar, debater, and an emissary of Islam, taking Allah's message to every corner of the world. We salute late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Now, to further enlighten you, we will be playing the recordings on various subject matters of Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Subject matters like, was Christ crucified? Is Jesus God? Is the Bible God's word? What the Bible says about Muhammad? Muhammad the greatest? Muhammad the natural successor to Christ? Crucifixion and many more. I am presenter, future psychologist Masiha Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The very first revelation that was given to him, he was in the Ghar Hira, cave of Hira, subsequently known as Jabal al-Nur, the mountain of light, some 3 miles north of the city of Makkah. It was the 27th of the month of Ramadan. He is alone in the cave. And the archangel Gabriel, comes to him and commands him in his mother tongue, Iqra. Iqra, which means read, or recite, or rehearse. And our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being an ummi, unlettered, he's terrified. Somebody's asking you to read, and when you can't read, so he says, Ma ana bi qari'in. He said, I'm not learned. So the angel of God commands him a second time, Iqra, read. And again he pleads, he says, Ma ana bi qari'in. I'm not learned. How can I read? The third time, the angel of God, Jibreel alayhi salam, presses him hard and he says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, which means read in the name of the Lord and Cherisher who created. So now, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he grasped that what was required for him to do was to repeat, because this Arabic word Iqra means to read, to recite, to rehearse, to repeat. So he repeated. So Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So read in the name of the Lord and Cherisher who created. So he said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So khalaq al-insana min alaq. So he who created man from a mere clot of congealed blood. So he says, khalaq al-insana min alaq. So Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. So read, and the Lord is most bountiful. So he said, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. So alladhi allama bil kalam. So he who taught the use of the pen. So he said, alladhi allama bil kalam. So allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. So taught man that which he knew not. So he said, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. These were the first 5 verses revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that cave of Hira. As soon as the angel departed, sweating all over, terrified, he runs home 3 miles south to his dear wife, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadijatul Kubra, and he says, cover me up, something terrible has happened. She covers him up, and when he gets out of his excitement, he explains to her what he had seen, and his fears that something has gone wrong with me. You know, we talk about other people getting possessed. In those days, it was so much common, this man, that man, that man. In the time of Jesus, you know, he says the spirits went into 2,000 swines and they ran down the hill and they all got drowned in the Bible. Then spirits went into a fig tree and it dried it up from its very roots. And spirits were going into men and women and animals, everything. So now, in that day and age, he's also fearing that something, I think, has gone wrong with me. What is this? I hear a voice telling me to read this. And she said, look, Allah will not allow such a thing to happen to you. You are kind to orphans and the widows, and you are so good, you are so charitable. And she takes him to her cousin Waraqa, who was a learned man of the Jewish and Christian scriptures, who was a Christian, Arab Christian. And when he heard the story, he said, you are the messenger of God chosen for this people. I wish I would be alive. I said, these people will persecute you, they'll harm you. But he said, I wish I was alive to defend you then. But these were the first 5 verses given to him. And in the next 23 years of his prophetic life, according to the needs, telegrams were received. Telegrams. The Quran is a book of telegrams. This is how Allah speaks. He doesn't speak like once upon a time, the fox and the grape, the wolf and the lamb, Baba, black sheep. This is not the Quran. The Quran is a concentrated book. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Four verses. Complete. Chapter is complete. It's an ocean. Now you start thinking about what is this? Ocean. But you read it even with the meaning. You say, now what did I say? What did you say? So well, God is only one. And what else? You say, well, he doesn't beget and he's not begotten. He's got no father and no son. Yeah, what else? Very difficult. You need a commentary. The Quran is a very concentrated book. Allah talks by telegrams. So during the next 23 years of his prophetic life, what was given is now contained in this book, the Holy Quran. And it says, when we had reached that point, the Dumini felt that we should, you know, cut it short now. So he says, you know, what you are telling me sounds very good. One day I'd like to call you to my church to speak to my congregation. In my mind I said, that will be the day. But he'd like to call me one day. But I said, you see, all this what you're talking about is not important. It's not important. He said, look, we got the veritable Son of God. He died for our sins. He absolved us from all sins. You see, such a nice, cushy feeling one gets. Somebody paying for you. You know, you can speed away 200 kilometers an hour. And when you get caught, Mr. Salim Muhammad is there to pay your fine. How nice, huh? Would you care to slow down? Sally is there with this half a dozen supermarkets, you know, to pay your fines for you. How nice. You have a headache and I take the pill and you get healed. How nice. You have a rotten appendix, operate mine because mine is healthy. Huh? Look, this is something that the man loves it. Anybody, we are all cowards by nature. Man is a coward by nature. You know, in the garden, you know, you read the Bible, it tells you that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Mahoma, when they committed that mistake, and when God confronts them, he says, Adam, why are you behaving like this, plucking leaves and putting on yourself? What's wrong with you? He said, no. It's the woman that thou gavest to me. She made me to eat. He's blaming the poor woman. And he's blaming Allah. He said, the woman thou gavest to me. You know, if you didn't give me that woman, I wouldn't be in trouble. He said, portraying that we are all like that. And you woman? He said, no, it's the serpent that beguiled me, blaming the poor snake. This is man. This is man. We are all like that. So somebody else died for your sin. What a pleasant feeling you get. You don't have to exert. You don't have to sweat. You don't have to pray five times a day. You don't have to fast for one whole month. You don't have to straitjacket your life. You don't have to do that. You just have to believe that Christ died for your sins and salvation is yours. So he's got that. What is all this? Why you waste time? It's not important. Important thing is Christ died for his sins. That says, Dumini, you know, God Almighty, he knew this mentality of yours. What you're talking now is was well known to him. So in verse 19, he warns. I was reading 18:18. We were expounding 18:18. But as says, verse 19, it says, and it shall come to pass. Means it's going to happen. Allah knew. He said, look, it'll come to pass. Means this thing is going to happen. That whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he, that prophet, shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I'll fix him up. In the Roman Catholic Bible, it says, I will take vengeance from him, take revenge. God is threatening revenge. I said, you know, there's 1,000 prophecies, you're talking about Christ. There's not one which is followed by such a threat. God Almighty himself is threatening, he said, I'm going to take revenge. If you will not listen to that prophet, who will speak in my name, and it's going to come to pass, it's going to happen, that there will be guys like that. He said, I'll fix them up. God Almighty is threatening revenge. And he doesn't frighten you. We get terrified. Some gangster telling us, hey, we're coming home tonight to put matches to your house. We can't sleep all night. You know, we want police protection. No? Allah, when he threatens, God Almighty says, I'm going to take revenge. And you say, it's not important. And I said, in whose name is Muhammad speaking? Whose name? Whose name is he speaking? He says, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, his words, Allah's words, in my name, in Allah's name. I say, in whose name is Muhammad speaking? Look at the book. And this Yusuf Ali's translation has got a very beautiful arrangement. The end verses, end surahs. When you start from the very last, Surah Nas, chapter 114. You start with Surah Nas, every chapter Every page is a different chapter. Amazing. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Next page. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most. Every page is every chapter, different page. Every page. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. In whose name is he speaking? In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Look how this prophecy is fitting the Holy Prophet Muhammad. It's fitting him like a glove. We don't have to pull, stretch, hook or by crook, trying to prove your case. We don't have to do that. It's fitting him like a glove. Every word, every chapter begins. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Amazing, amazing. Find out, what is this man out to teach you? What is he telling you? Why don't you investigate? Why don't you make sure? What does he say? What is he telling you? He is not telling you that Jesus is not God, but I am God. He is not telling you that Jesus is not the Son of God, but I am the Son of God. He is not telling you that Christ didn't die for your sins, but I am going to die for your sins. Nothing. He's inviting you to the religion of God. Worship God, the Father in heaven, who is the only God, who is the real God. But as you know, in the time of Jesus, the Jews were waiting for this prophet to come. You see, the Jews have not produced another candidate. They are not making any claim to that prophecy. The only candidates are what the Christians produced, Jesus Christ and the Holy Prophet Muhammad. But in the time of Jesus, they were still waiting for this prophet of Deuteronomy 18:18. And the proof of that is, you open the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 19, and you read there that the Jews sent Levites and priests, learned men, to go to John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, who was in prison, to ask him, who art thou? Who are you? Because the Jews had a number of prophecies, three. They were waiting fulfillment of three prophecies in the time of Jesus. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, Masih, Christ, translated Christ, Masih translated Christ. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, but they had another prophecy side by side that before the coming of the Messiah, Elias must come first. Elias is a prophet supposed to have gone up into heaven by a whirlwind. And before the coming of the Messiah, this man, Elias, must come first. So when Jesus claimed that he is the Masih, the Messiah, Christ, they said, where is Elias? So he points out to John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, that John the Baptist is Elias, or in the spirit of Elias. So they were not satisfied with Jesus' recommendation. So they go to John to make sure whether he is what Jesus is telling him to be. So they ask him, number one, first question, art thou that Christ, the one we are waiting for, Masih, are you that? Now, Jesus was the Christ. We believe that. So he says, no, I am not. He is not that Christ. There can't be two Christ at the same time. Then they ask him, art thou Elias? Then he says, I am not. Now, this is giving a lie to Jesus. Jesus says that John is Elias, and John says, I am not. Now, who is speaking the truth? Both are mighty messengers of God. According to Jesus, John the Baptist was the greatest of the Israelite prophets. Jesus said, among those born of women, there is not another greater than John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam. The greatest man among the Jews, the greatest prophet among the Jews is Yahya alayhi salam, John the Baptist. And this greatest man, according to Jesus, says, I am not what Jesus is saying. So, one of them is not speaking the truth. Can we take sides? No. How can we say that Jesus was speaking a lie? How can we say that Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam was speaking a lie? I said, look, this is the problem for the Christians. Please don't enter into that. It's not our business. Let them solve that problem between Jesus and John. Who is speaking the truth? We don't want to know. But what we are looking for is, they ask him, art thou Elias? And he says, I'm not. Then they ask him a third question, art thou that prophet? And he says, no. Amazing. Three things they ask him. Art thou the Christ? He says, no. Art thou Elias? He says, no. Art thou that prophet? He says, no. Then they remonstrate with him. He said, why then baptizest thou, if thou art not the Christ, neither Elias, nor that prophet? There are three questions, three negative answers, and three remonstrances. Remonstrating with him. Why then are you doing this? But you know, the learned man of Christendom, he can't see three questions. He can't see three answers, he only sees two. You take any school child of standard two and you tell him to read that, he can see three. He'll tell you, look, daddy, three questions are asked, three answers are given, and three times they're saying, why are you doing this if you are not this, not that, not that? But the learned man can't see, his program, not to see. You show it to him. You must show it to him. Say, look, simple. Man, it's like a baby class. You know, you're teaching these children kindergarten, Baba black sheep. It is easy as that. Art thou that prophet? And any Bible which has what is called a cross-reference, a concordance on the side, any Bible which has that, you'll find the word at the point, that prophet, you'll find a number. And you look at the number on the side, it'll tell you it refers to Deuteronomy 18:18. And we know that that prophet of Deuteronomy 18:18 is not Jesus, but Muhammad. We are not denying Jesus. We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe in his miraculous birth. We believe that he was the Messiah. We believe that he gave life to the dead by God's permission, and he healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. And we are not going to dispute the 1,000 prophecies they're talking about, that about the coming of Christ. We are not disputing a single one of them. What we say is that this prophecy of Deuteronomy 18:18 does not refer to Jesus, but it refers to Muhammad. That is all. Now, you have to master this. And Jesus Christ gave them a test, which would like them to apply. He said, for there shall arise many false prophets and false Christs, who will show you great signs and wonders, miracles. False prophets can do that, he says. Many false prophets and false Christs, who will show you great signs and wonders. If it were possible to deceive the very elect, even the chosen one of his can be deceived. Such miracles they can perform. Then how are you going to know the true from the false? He said, by the fruit you shall know them. What do they produce? By the fruits ye shall know them. Do men gather grapes from the thorn or figs from the thistle? Do they? He said, no. Every good tree will be good fruit, and every evil tree will be evil fruit. Judge them by the fruits. By the fruits ye shall know them. We are not paragons of virtue, we Muslims. We are not. Let's admit it, that we have our black sheep like any other community. But, and I can boast, and I have been boasting, and I have not been contradicted, that my people, the Muslims of South Africa, we have the lowest alcoholic consumption in the country. We don't say we have no drunkards. We have our black sheep, our drunkards as well, who might drink any other Christian or Hindu under the table. We have them too. But we have the lowest alcoholic consumption in the country. We have the lowest gambling rate in the country. We have the lowest prison rate in the country. We have the lowest divorce rate in the country. We have the lowest suicide rate in the country. And we have the highest charity rate in the country. With what God has given us, we are the most charitable of people. We are the most hospitable of people. We are the most sober people in everything. But as a people, as a whole, there is not another nation or community in this country that can show a candle to us that we are better than you. What did it? This man's teaching. Forget everything. Remember this one thing, that at the present moment, there are 1,000 million Muslims in the world. 1,000 million Muslims, 1 billion. And we as a people, as a whole, we don't drink alcohol. We are the biggest society of teetotalers in the world. People who don't imbibe alcohol. Biggest society in the world are the Muslims. Despite all our drunkards, we are still the biggest society of people who don't touch that stuff. I said, if Muhammad did nothing but freed mankind from this one evil, South Africa, we spend 2,000 million rand on alcohol, 2 billion on gambling. Very little of our money went there, I hope. My dear brothers and sisters, we have given you this little booklet. Look, take it home. Master these verses, master them, memorize them to such an extent that, you know, you can stand on your head and you can rattle it off. That's the only way to learn, is that if you can stand on your head and rattle it off. Prophet Salek for Hala Fawek, Eid Dimida for Hala Bruas. So in case you are talking and the guy breaks you in the middle and he takes you off like a shark, you know, you can catch a shark, what happens? He's taking you this way, that way, and you pull it back again and the thing reels again. So same thing happens in a dialogue. You know, while at work, while you're having tea, the thing discussion starts and the guy takes you off. So what about this? And what about Khomeini? We are talking about Deuteronomy 18:18, and he wants to know about Iraq-Iran war. He wants to know about this fellow. So If you have mastered it, you can bring it back. Again, where you left off is a suasies. You know, we are discussing suasies. And exhalme word in the mondale. And exhalme word in the mondale. Can you see? So you must master this. You owe it to yourself. And I says, the pleasure and the privilege is ours. Allah has given it to us. Li yuzhirahu ala ad-din kulli. He's given you a deen that is to master, overcome, and supersede them all. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا. And enough is Allah is a witness to this fact that is going to make his deen to prevail with you or without you. It's a privilege Allah has given us that we can serve his deen. We can do the works of the prophets of God and earn a prophet's reward. May Allah be with you. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Thank you very much, Brother Ahmad Didat.
Assalamu alaikum. My dear Ahmad Didat, I was very impressed with your speech tonight. But as a Muslim, there is something that is not clear in my mind. And I think lots of other people would also like to get some clearance on this matter. Of course, you did quote that it is said that Prophet Muhammad would be the one. I mean, you said that, it is quoted that he will be raised from amongst their brethren. Now, of course, this means that he will be a great person. But why did God give him that greatness, which was so short-lived? Why did he achieve that greatness only for 23 years of his life? Why wasn't he a great man from the time he was born? Why wasn't he... why wasn't he so great? I wouldn't say great, but why wasn't he so popular like Jesus was? Why did he achieve world popularity only years after his birth? Could you explain that to us? I'm sure you will do a lot of justice to a lot of other Muslims and non-Muslims in this place.
Why did God wait for 40 years before revealing the Quran to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Suppose the Quran was revealed to him at the age of 30. See, like Jesus Christ, he was baptized at the age of 30 in the river Jordan by John the Baptist. So he said, look, why 30? Why not at 25? And if it was 25, why not at 20? Why wasn't he born with a book in his hand? These are questions that you have to address to Allah. You see, as I said, the Quran is a book of telegrams. You remember? The Quran is a book of telegrams from Allah through His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you have to send a telegram to Him, God Almighty. Ask Him, why did you wait till the age of 40 before you delivered this message to Him? It's not me, it's not in my hands. He chose Moses at the age of 40. He chose the other prophets, David at the age of 40. He chose Jesus at the age of 30. Right. That's His business. When the time is ripe, the message is given. With regards to greatness, you see, if you read, I don't know whether you're in touch with what is going on in the world today, a certain Michael H. Hart has written a book called The Top 100, the most influential men in history. And you see the number one, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Times magazine, the greatest leader of all times, Jules Masterman, a Jew, a United States economist, is the greatest leader of all time was Muhammad. Lamartine, in his History of the Turks, is the greatest man that ever lived was Muhammad. I'll be dealing with this aspect of greatness in the third lecture, I think. Muhammad the greatest. So I hope you will hold your horses till then. Why did God choose this man, you know, at the age of 40? And why is he recognized today? In the lifetime, every prophet, you know, you made a statement, I think that maybe you didn't know, you slipped out of your mouth, that Jesus was a great success. You know, Muhammad had to make migration. His companions had to make two migrations to Abyssinia. Jesus was a great success. That is not true. You know it's not true. You know what was his end, according to the Christian, what they say? The man was killed on the cross. Is that greatness? Is that success? And all his disciples forsook him and fled. They left him in the lurch. All. 100% failure. And today, the Christian world are not following Jesus at all. According to that Michael H. Hart,
He says that, you see, the honor for Christianity should be divided between Jesus and Paul. And actually, Paul is the real founder of Christianity, not Jesus Christ. So even as a religion, the religion that is carrying his name, Christ, Christianity, is not his religion. So I think, you know, my son, you should check up these things, you know, before making a statement to say, you know, this man was more successful than the other. The most successful of all religious personalities is Muhammad, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, edition, 11th edition. Most successful. Well, I don't know, nobody paid, I don't know who paid them, you know, to write that down.
Note here, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses. Moses, I do believe, performed miracles. Jesus performed an abundance of miracles. But I have no knowledge of Muhammad performing miracles. Could Mr. Dida just elaborate on that? I'd like to say that Jesus is like Moses because they both perform miracles.
The question is, if it's not, was not very clear to part of the audience, that Moses performed miracles, Jesus performed miracles, but he has no knowledge whether the Holy Prophet Muhammad performed miracles. Now, in the Book of Traditions, more than 300 miracles are ascribed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Muslim does not make an issue of it, because those miracles of the prophets gone by are things in books. They are a matter of history. So saying that, look, my prophet did this and your prophet did that, but here, again and again, Allah, but are you listening, brother? I see that you are, you see your head is down there. I don't know whether you're listening to me. If you look at me, then I can address you. I said the Quran, again and again, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he referred to the Quran, a living miracle. You see, the miracles of Moses, you know, crossing the Red Sea, right, striking the rock and rivers gushing forth. Miracles of Jesus, turning water into wine, killing those 2,000 pigs, drying up the fig tree from the very roots, right? Now, these are things in books. You see, you say, look, man, I don't know whether it happened or it didn't happen. It might sound like a fairy tale to most people. So he said, look, talk about this, is a living miracle. And I'm going to prove this to you, you know, in a lecture in the series, Al-Quran, a visual miracle. In other words, that you today in the 20th century, you can verify that this book is the miracle left behind, a living miracle of Muhammad left with you. You'd need a little patience for that. But if you look up the books of traditions, there are more than 300 miracles attributed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Muslim does not go out of his way to prove the bona fide of his prophets by those miracles. He said, here, a living miracle, you can see for yourself and verify yourself. So I look forward to seeing you there. Al-Quran, a visual miracle, the living miracle of Muhammad.
Good evening, Mr. Didat. I appreciate your explanation for that particular scripture verse. But I have one question. What you have said tonight, is that authenticated in the Quran? Can you quote a particular verse whereby Muhammad claimed himself to be that particular prophet?
You see, the Quran is not the words of Muhammad. This is it. The Quran is the word of God. And God Almighty is testifying. This is not Muhammad's storybook, what he can say, this, make this claim, that claim. This is cool, tell them. See, I read at the very beginning. Tell them, Ara'aytum in kana min indillah. Can't you see? Are you blind? Like Jesus told the Jews. He says, you know, the sheep and the goats, they hear their master's voice. How is it that you can't hear your master's voice? You know, you as a human being, you should have more brains than the sheep and the goats. If they can recognize their master's voice, Jesus assumes, and God Almighty also assumes, that you, as an intelligent creature of his, you will be able to recognize this as the word of God. And in that word of God, he says, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ. And a witness from among the children of Israel bore witness of one like him. And word for word, we find fulfillment. That Jesus, Moses, through the mouth of Moses, God Almighty speaks. He says, like unto thee, like you, mislaka,
Mislaka in Arabic. Mislahi. So we have this, I have given you more than 20 different reasons to say that, look, this prophecy refers to the Holy Prophet Muhammad. God Almighty makes the claim on his behalf. He said, this is the verification. You read that in that booklet, if you have that, the very first verse that's written on the top, introduction, the very first verse on that first page, you'll find that quotation from the Quran. You didn't get that book of ours, what the Bible says about Muhammad? The very first page, you'll see that verse there, which is the confirmation from God Almighty that this is the prophecy finds fulfillment in the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Do you see whether this message be from Allah, God Almighty, and yet you reject it? It is, and a witness from among the children of Israel bore witness of one like him. Do you see whether this message be from Allah, God Almighty? Now I had read through the translation of the Quran, and there's one part that struck me when he gave the scripture that he received from the angel Gabriel in the form of the Holy Spirit. When he received it and he gave it to them, I would like to ask you one question, but that is not the whole point of the thing, is that I'd like to know for sure why, point number one, when he revealed the Quran, right? When he revealed the word to them, can you tell me why, firstly, did his eyes turn red like fire and his temper, and had a bad temper, and yet further down it brought it to a conclusion that he had to stress it that way to get their attention, right? But now what I'd like to know is that, can you tell me for sure that I speak under full correction, and I'd like to know there is a difference between the Holy Quran and the Bible. There's a very big difference. And from this point, I'd like to read you some scripture. Here says the Holy Quran 46, verse 10. Do you see whether this message be from Allah? Right? But I'd like to stress you a point, because you said you had searched from Dumani to Dumani. Right? And you went from one point to another point seeking the truth. Right, sir? Seeking the truth concerning the Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I just ask you, what is truth?
That is what Pilate asked Jesus, which he never answered.
And I answered and asked you to know the difference between the Quran.
This is the question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus.
Sure.
What is truth?
Mm.
And you read there, Jesus never answered that question.
Sure.
Right.
I know.
Now, if you want to know what is truth, this is what the Quran says. Al-haqqu min rabbikum wa la takun min al-mumtarin. Is the truth comes from thy Lord alone, so be not be those of those who doubt. And this is the truth.
This is the truth.
The revelation of God. It is the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
This is it.
Whatever God says is truth.
Now could I just stress one more point?
One more question.
Could you tell me, is the God of Allah you serve and the God I serve, is it the same God?
You see, in principle, we all believe in the same God. But you have a certain concept of God Almighty if you are a Christian. Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
And you are a Trinitarian?
Huh?
Are you a Trinitarian?
Yes, Father, right. Son, and Holy Ghost.
Right. You see now, that is your concept of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which we say is not the teaching of Christ. Jesus Christ, you see in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 12, verse 29, a learned man of the Jew comes to him and says, Master, what commandment is the first of all? And Jesus answers and says unto him, not for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. No. He said, the first is, in the Hebrew language, Shema Israelu Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the first commandment as given by Jesus Christ. See, the first is that Lord God is the one and only God. No man can see God and live. God is not seen at any time. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit, not in form, not in shape, not in size. This verse about the Trinity, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, is in that Bible that brother is carrying. But in all the
modern translation, including the RSV, the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I wonder if you heard about the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which is the most up-to-date Bible in the world today. This was brought about by 32 scholars of the highest eminence, backed by 50 cooperating denominations. And they have, as a whole, thrown it out, expunged it from the Bible. Would you like to have a look at it? It's not there. This verse on the Trinity is thrown out as a fabrication, as an interpolation. You know who did it? Not Jews, not Hindus, not Muslims, but Christian scholars of the highest eminence. So now you are creating a religion of a fabrication. This verse on the Trinity is a fabrication. Jesus Christ didn't teach you that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are co-equal and co-eternal. This is the teaching of your church.
No, sir.
Where does Jesus say, I and my Father, we are both equal? Does he say any such things? Does he say that he is God? Nowhere. There is not a single unequivocal statement in the whole encyclopedia called the Bible. Not a single, I hope you understand my English.
Sure.
Unequivocal means simple, straightforward, to say, I am God, or he says, worship me. If you can find such a statement, and you have a whole week while I'm around, you just bring that over at any of my meetings from your Bible, where Jesus says, I'm God, or where he says, worship me, and in front of all the people, I will be prepared to accept him as God, and I will be prepared to worship him. Right? But I'm giving you an opportunity up to next Tuesday night. In your Bible, any Bible, whether it is the Roman Catholic version, or the King James version, or the Revised version, or the Revised Standard version, or the American Standard, or the Jehovah's Witness version, any Bible that you can name, bring it to me in any meeting and in front of everybody, I will follow and join your church. How's that?
Sure, I would agree with you.
Right. So I'm giving you opportunity the next Tuesday night.
Okay, good evening, everybody. You said that that is the Revised Standard Bible, right? So you said that the Revised Standard Bible has been taken out of the Trinity, right? The Trinity has been taken out there, right? So what Christians took that question out, throw that portion of the Bible, of the Trinity, what Christian did it?
They were the Trinitarian Christians. People themselves were Trinitarians. In Mudaport in the Free State, there was a church synod. And in that church synod, they're asking themselves the question, how many of them that preach Trinity in the church, they believe in the Trinity? Those who preach it. And 85% of the people that were there who preached Trinity, they said they didn't believe in the Trinity. This is how good it is. So it has no biblical basis. Your Trinity is not there. Jesus is not God. He never claimed to be God. Nowhere did he say, I'm God. Nowhere did he say, worship me. So this is a creation of the church. See? And your scholars, and if you read here the testimonies about this Bible here, what church do you belong to, my son? Your church might be also one of the members who were responsible for this. Right, listen. Church of England newspaper. Church of England, that's the Anglican. They say the finest version which has been produced in the present century, this Bible, finest version. Times Literary Supplement says, a completely fresh translation by scholars of the highest eminence. Language which is not only dignified but also contemporary. Fullest use of resources of modern scholarship. Life and Work says, the well-loved characteristics of the authorized version combined with the new accuracy of translation. And the Times says, the most accurate and close rendering of the original. This one. Most accurate and close rendering of the original, and they found it fit to throw out the Trinity. They found fit to throw out the word begotten in John 3:16, that this was also another interpolation. They saw fit to throw out the ascension, which is also, according to them, an interpolation. Now, if you like, at the end of the meeting, you can have a look at this Bible, and then you can question me at the next meeting if I'm wrong.
You see that the Trinity has been thrown out of that Bible, right?
Correct.
So I asked you a question, what Christians did that? And you couldn't give me an answer.
50 cooperating denominations of Christendom.
Who are they?
They were Baptists, they were Anglicans, they were perhaps Roman Catholics. 52 denominations went to do that job.
But that is not the answer that I asked you.
Then the answer is, you didn't tell me what church you belong to. Maybe your church was also involved there.
No.
Sorry, that was the last question, and I would like to take this opportunity to say many, many thanks for your attendance tonight and for your participation, one and all, of those who did. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Upon listening to the various subject matters and episodes, please assist the IPCI to continue the legacy of Sheikh Didat. For all your contributions within Durban area, call or WhatsApp Abdul Khalik Ali on 078-768-7948 and Johannesburg Muhammad Khan on 083-982-8828.